Hello and welcome back to Flavor Podcast. It's episode 3. We're in the middle-ish, maybe. I don't know. And as I play the opening seconds of the episode in the background to remind me of what happens, all I'm seeing is Amy's gloating face.
Yes.
Amy was pleased. Was pleased with our card pull.
God forbid.
But you do have a good gloating face.
Thank you, Sam.
Which is important in this game. It's very important.
Right. Right. But yes, that was the best moment of this episode for us. The opening few seconds.
Yeah. And actually, let's talk about the opening few seconds for 1 hour.
I agree. I don't think we need to discuss anything else.
I don't think anything else that happens in this episode is interesting at all to me. There's just that little reminder at the beginning that God is real and loves us. And then the rest was wind.
I don't honestly know. I don't think I remembered until our discussion right now and scrubbing through the episode how horrific this episode was for us. Like, nothing went right.
Yes. Well,
no, it's pretty tough. I mean, you get Massachusetts, and the Massachusetts challenge is easy.
Yeah.
Yes.
But comically easy.
That is
true. After that, it's all downhill.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd love to hear about the process there.
We'll get there, yeah.
We'll get to it. But what's upsetting is that was like our fourth draft. And I think actually all the other drafts were better than that one ended up being.
Awesome.
Ben defends that challenge, though.
I liked it. I still like watching it.
Anyways, we open in New Hampshire. Amy and I were in the slush zone. I don't know if we acknowledged that in the last episode, but it was a very slushy day in New Hampshire. But yeah, down to Boston, as y'all seemingly had a much nicer day in St. Louis. I mean, what is there to say about the Gateway Arch and y'all's execution of this challenge?
It is cool. It is cool.
It's way cooler than I thought it would be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think Percy Jackson could have made that jump?
100%.
What?
What? He jumps over it? What do you mean?
There's a lot of discussion about whether he could have made the jump into the Mississippi River from the top of the Gateway Arch.
He jumps from the Gateway Arch into the Mississippi River.
You gotta remember, kid's a demigod.
Well, yeah, I think a normal person would die. That's my analysis.
But he's not normal, he's a very special.
Because he has, like, water powers, right?
He does, he has water powers. Because he's, like, the Poseidon kid.
Here, I'm going to Street View here.
I honestly don't know what the deal is here. I just know that among the Percy Jackson fan community, there's a lot of discussion about it. And who's the author of that?
Rick Riordan.
Rick Riordan.
And the thing about it is that the river is actually quite far, like from the top laterally in a way that a normal person could not. And there's this somewhat famous-ish quote, I believe, where someone confronts the author about how this could have happened, because I guess it's like a big plot point moment or I don't know, something like that. And his response was, thought it was closer.
And that's fair.
I will say, Sam, that, you know, before the episode we're recording, we're doing this batch, and you sort of were like, we really need to, like, we got to get moving. We need to, like, get through this episode, et cetera.
But this is an important component.
This is important. People have been thinking about this. People have been talking about this.
I will say, I'm looking on Street View right now. A person could not do that. Now,
no.
He has, like, magic powers, I think, a little bit.
But does he have jumping powers?
I don't think he has jumping powers. I don't think he has jumping powers. So I think the answer is a no.
So are we all speculating about a book none of us have read?
Yes.
What do you mean none of
I've
us
read
have read?
Almost all of those books.
Well, just because no one's bringing something that sounds anything like expertise in Percy's magical abilities to the conversation.
No. I've read all those books.
I have not read them since I was a child.
Okay, well then give us a real answer.
He's the son of Poseidon.
Yeah, okay.
Poseidon's his dad.
All I know is that some Percy Jackson, whatever the Percy Jackson fans are called, are going to be blown away by me bringing this reference into the discussion.
No, that's great.
Proud of you.
No, that's
great. This is just Sam's continued effort to win over a million hearts.
Right. Especially considering my level of knowledge about Percy Jackson. Anyways, y'all took a picture of the Gateway Arch, and lo and behold, people were able to figure out that the big silver arch was the one big silver arch.
Not the Everglades one.
It's an easy one. Well, the thing is, what's interesting about this challenge is that I think in most national parks, this actually was probably one of the trickier questions that we've presented to our audience. Though after this, we were really like, I mean, I think we can say this because the audience knows what questions we've asked the audience. But in the following season in Japan, I feel like we have some harder audience questions.
We definitely did. It is true that quite a few national parks do not have a single iconic thing. They might have famous views and stuff, but like, you know, if you were to do this on like Skyline Drive in like Shenandoah National Park, it's some very good views, but views that like certainly someone not from the Northeast or not from the US,
no.
I think every distinct chance that they would not know what that is, for example.
Right. Well, and it's like, could you tell the difference between Shenandoah National Park and Great Smoky Mountains National Park? They're both going to be pictures of mountains with trees, especially this time of year when most of the leaves are not, like, it's wintery times. Like, that was part of our logic, too, was like, I don't know that we would get this in Great Smoky Mountains National Park. It would at least be a huge risk. And it was like, part of the benefit of this was it's a guarantee that we get it.
Yeah, I think this is one of the few parks where there's a 100%. Globally recognized landmark.
Yeah.
Because, like, even if you went to, like, El Cap, like, there are people who would not be able to place which park that was in or something.
Yeah, but that wouldn't matter. I mean, this is a thing, and we've talked about this with design. It's like, you just need enough people who know what it is, and then all of the randomness will distribute out, because it doesn't have to be the majority answer. It just has to be the most common answer.
Yeah. I guess my final point on this is, like, if you had the ability to teleport to any national park to complete this challenge,
is this one?
It would be this one. Yeah. Anyways.
It is worth noting, I guess, quickly, we decided to do it really fast so that we could get rid of, what was it, Wisconsin? Something popped up that was good for you guys.
Yeah. I had a question about this that I don't remember exactly like what you guys say, but in my little notes, it's like you say something about like Wisconsin being a perfect state for us. And my question is, Wisconsin is a good state for us. It touches Illinois, but it doesn't touch Canada because no water borders. Like, it's not exactly a perfect state for us. It's just kind of a decent option. But y'all were like really built in about it. Was that just you being dramatic? Or is there something I'm missing about how good?
Did we say perfect?
Did we say perfect state?
I had jotted down that you were like, that's two perfect states for them. That's so messed up.
That may be a dramatization of the reality. It's a good state.
Yeah, it was a state we could do.
But I don't think that we're doing it for camera. I think we're doing it because we're like freaked out. I also think that if I'm being honest, in my head, I maybe thought Wisconsin might border Canada.
It's close.
It's close, but it's not there.
It's close. But I think that it borders Illinois and it gets you closer to Canada.
Yeah, and I certainly would have liked to get it.
Right, but it's like, then all you need is Michigan or Minnesota. And so, you know, I think we are like, well, you know, like, it's not that bad. It is Wisconsin, isn't it? Isn't it? It is Wisconsin.
I think so, yeah. And I mean, I guess because like right now what we really have in the back of our heads is...
Yeah.
If you guys can connect Illinois to Canada without wasting too much time, then, like, the fortunes really flip, right? Like, we're really then on the back foot.
And we're making all our choices on the thing that's, like, the one thing we can do to flip the fortunes is to connect Illinois to Canada without wasting much time.
Right. So it's maybe not the perfect state for you guys, but it's in that mix, and so it's scary.
It is good.
I will say, for what it's worth, we actually had some discussion that all gets cut out where we realize maybe we actually shouldn't eliminate Wisconsin because we don't have a lot of good options before Kentucky comes up, which happens when you guys do your thing. And we realize we could go to Wisconsin and claim it.
Yeah.
And then all you would need is Iowa, and then that would connect to Missouri. And it would both get us extra states and also box out Illinois and make it so that you probably can't connect it to Canada unless you do it through Indiana and Michigan, which, you know, you could do, but it would make it harder for you.
Well, it is to your benefit that you chose not to do that, given that Iowa was in our private hit.
Right, right.
Yeah, exactly. No, it would have been terrible. It would have been a terrible move. But at the time, we didn't know that. So we were like, oh,
yeah,
maybe,
it would have been awesome.
Think about this. But no, ultimately, we do it.
All right. Let's discuss the Paul Revere ride. What I believe, and I can't believe that this is a disputed point, what I believe to be one of the lamest challenges of all time.
I enjoyed watching
it. Well, and this is largely cut out of the ep, but the actual challenging part of the challenge is that the challenge is written, what we were looking at, said that you had to start at, like, whatever the North something church or something in Boston and then do a portion of his ride, but his ride does not start at the church. And so sitting in the car on maps and old websites trying to figure out where you actually were permitted to do this challenge was the only part of this challenge that posed any type of challenge.
Yeah, I hope it's not too, I don't know, inappropriate to say that I believe that Amy and I have some of the best thigh circumference of any employees of Wendover Productions LLC.
It's probably true.
I've always said that about us.
Right. And I do think, therefore, that, like, I don't know how much of this discussion is appropriate for the workplace, but, like...
No, keep going.
I think the lower the thigh circumference, the more difficult this challenge is, right?
Well, I think we would have had a harder time doing it, Adam and I. I do think that it would have been a little more challenging.
I mean, Ben, you continue to defend this challenge.
I enjoyed watching it. I thought it was funny.
And so I invite you now to give your defense of the challenge.
I thought it was fun to watch. I enjoyed watching it.
Were you, while watching it, perhaps playing with some kind of toy or ingesting some kind of drug? Are you sure the fun came from watching this challenge?
It delighted me. And look, the audience will make a determination, but I had fun watching it.
Why is there a lemon in this?
Ben thought it would be funny.
I thought it would be funny.
Okay, sure.
In my opinion, this challenge is a good reminder that sometimes when you have to come up with a lot of challenges and there's one that sort of has been marked as one that, you know, is not one of our favorites, sometimes you can't beat it and you should just stick with the one that you have. Because we had what I think was actually a decent challenge written for Massachusetts, which was that it involved like dumping tea in the bay, which was like the Boston Tea Party. You had to like buy tea from Dunkin' Donuts. And basically you and your partner had to both dump an equivalent amount of tea as each other. And then, you know, like you would measure it by then combining what remained and it had to fill up exactly one Dunkin' cup. And I think that that's not an amazing challenge, but you're on a boat, first of all. And you're doing something really thematic, and it's like an interesting estimation and accuracy challenge. And instead, we replaced that challenge with this challenge, which I think is definitely worse.
Which is, by the way, another element of the challenge. Like, even if you buy the argument that watching Sam and I walk almost but not quite normally is entertainment, there's also the matter of, like, we only had to walk, like, we walked maybe 2 to 3 minutes. Like, it was almost no distance required either.
Yeah. Well, I was kind of amazed that, like, at least visually, it did look like Amy was walking entirely normally.
She was.
Amy really nailed it. Amy really nailed
it. Seems like your gait is designed around holding a lemon.
I could have jogged this.
Okay. I had to walk awkwardly. It was not difficult, but I was not walking normally.
Well, I will say that I really would have preferred if you guys had switched who had the camera.
We did at one point.
We did eventually.
Because all you see when you watch the challenge is Amy walking normal, is 90%
no,
of what the audience
sees. No, it cuts
sees.
To me.
Briefly.
And
briefly.
Look, you know, I hate to see her go, but I love to watch her walk away with a lemon tucked into her jeans. It was like, yeah, the majority of the challenge was like me being like, all right, let's go, and walking at my entirely normal walking pace, maybe a little fast because I wanted to complete the challenge. And then me hearing Sam behind me being like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Look, sometimes the challenge design process does not yield the best results.
I think it's sweet that you let your nephews do one.
The best thing to do is to acknowledge to the audience that sometimes we miss.
I think that this was the last challenge we ended up locking because
I think we were so tired and we were just like, fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we had written four. We had written more challenges for Massachusetts than any other state.
Than any other state. And eventually we were like, fine.
That's worse. You hear how that's worse, right?
And no one could agree on what challenge we wanted to have for Massachusetts. The tea one I thought was good, but there were other ones. There was a cranberry one that I liked. No. And then for whatever reason, this one got no pushback. It got no pushback.
No, it is on all of us. We all ultimately agreed to
yes.
It.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Except for Amy,
whoa.
Except for Amy.
I think it's important to note that when I agreed to be on this season, it was such a busy time of other stuff I had to do that I said, as part of the agreement here, I am not helping with a single thing I'm writing not one challenge. I am helping with not one game design. I'm doing nothing at all. I am showing up and play. Now, did this make me a worse player? Undeniably. But I am certainly feeling good sometimes about the idea that I have a value add to the process.
All right. So we card pull.
Yes.
We get Arizona. Yay.
Sure.
We remove Ohio because it kind of did nothing for us.
It's potentially worth noting that while we were sitting in Michigan, we were sort of hoping Ohio might come up.
Yeah.
Not that it would have been so great because it doesn't touch anything for us yet, but it could have been, if we made some Northeast play, we thought it might be useful, and it's, you know, close to Detroit. So we were a little bit like, the course of thing we sort of wanted a little bit ago came up as soon as we left. So we got crabby about it, but ultimately we didn't really care.
Yeah. But, you know, keep that voice tone primed because then we add Alabama, which was...
Yes.
Exactly.
So annoying.
Which is good because we don't even need Alabama because Kentucky has entered the board for us.
Yeah. We certainly didn't need Alabama.
No.
You certainly did not. I would say that Kentucky was maybe not, I don't know that it was necessarily the number one best state for us, but it was certainly a great one. Well, no, it's well positioned. Like, it's really well positioned in terms of like what it can do to expand our territory.
And also how close you are to it at the time of pulling.
Oh, you have to go to the middle of nowhere. It's 6 hours round trip.
But it was a 3-hour drive into the middle of nowhere. There were better options. Like, if we could have gotten a flight to basically anywhere, that would have been better.
Yeah, we would have done that.
Well, but 6 hours round trip, that's not more time cost than the average state takes.
Yeah, but I guess that's our point. It was an average state. It wasn't some incredible coup. It was an average state.
Yeah, but like you didn't really need to spend money. Like you didn't have to pay for a flight.
No, we had to pay for a rental car though.
Well, also like it opens up better options for you.
It's cheaper.
It's cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm just saying like, I think my only point is like, it was not like it was... When you guys got Massachusetts, that was basically a free state. You were going to pass through Massachusetts anyway.
Sure.
The added time that you spent getting Massachusetts was about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
We were going to spend now 6 hours getting Kentucky. I think that's our point.
Like, and I will acknowledge also that what we did was incredibly risky. We pulled it off.
Yeah.
But like, if we hadn't, it would have added several more hours to this claim.
Well, okay, that's another thing I want to be salty about. Y'all waited so long at the rental car place.
Yes.
Yep.
And it couldn't have just gone on for 5 minutes more.
No.
Yeah, no, I know. No, our boy was on it. You know, he sent me an email afterward.
What?
Yeah, he sent me an email. What company was it? Enterprise?
Enterprise.
Wait, I'll find it. Marcos. It was Marcos.
Yeah.
Also, I think in the episode I talk about wanting to call and harass Enterprise, I want to make clear that my plan that Sam wouldn't let me do is that I was going to, assuming there was one employee there, which seems to have been the case, I was going to call Enterprise and have a lot of extremely specific and unanswerable questions and just keep him tied up on the phone for as long as I could.
And that would have worked. And you actually should have done that, frankly, in my opinion.
Well, I was told that it wasn't allowed.
But no, Marcos was very nice and very helpful. And actually, I think saved us because we explained what was going on. Because he was like, you know, I mean, the thing about working at a rental car place is it seems like a terrible job to have because it's not your fault. But you basically never have the cars you're supposed to have. One time I was renting a car to go play disc golf in upstate New York.
Cool.
With people. And I went to pick up a rental car in Long Island City, I think. And I got to the place and I gave the lady my info and she went, "We have your car." And I went, "Oh my gosh, that's great." She says, "We never have the car." And then I asked, "What percentage of the time do you think that you have the car?" And she goes, 10%. And then she starts pointing to people in line. She goes, "We don't have their car. We don't have their car. We don't have their car."
Sort of a reverse Oprah, if you think about it.
And it was awesome. And yeah. So then, like, I was there with Chandler and we were chatting with her and we were like, you know, I sort of went out on a limb, but I was like, you know, this lady is a New Yorker and she works at a car rental place. I was like, I'm sure you must have seen the Seinfeld clip about the rental car, right? And she goes, the key is to hold the reservation, which is the line from Seinfeld. And then she goes, Jerry is a genius. And it was one of the most fun interactions I've sort of ever had in my life. But anyway, what happened with Marcos?
He was hustling.
He was really trying his absolute best. And I ultimately believe, did save us. I believe that if Marcos had not been like really trying hard to get us out of there as fast as possible, we would have lost that additional 5 minutes.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%.
He sent me an email personally thanking me for choosing Enterprise for the rental. Wow. And saying that this was the best way to contact him in case I needed any further assistance, which was very kind of him. Anyway, I think it's clear in the episode, they did not have a car for us. No. And basically what he ended up doing, to my understanding, was like giving us a car that someone else was supposed to get. Hmm. And then he was going to get a different car driven over from a different Enterprise to be there to give to those people whose car we were now getting. Because those people weren't there yet and we needed a car ASAP. Mm-hmm. And so this was how it... But originally, he was going to actually drive us to the other car rental place to get a car. And we were like, we can't do that. If we do that, it's going to be too late. Yeah. We were basically like, if that's what we have to do, we should just cancel our reservation because like, it's not going to work.
Yeah. And I will say like, you ended up cutting it very close. It worked out. You would have wasted a bunch more time if it didn't. But to the point about you ending up, you know, not near like a big airport or something, had you not gotten to the distillery by the end of the day, you would have spent the beginning of the day driving closer to an airport and just completed the challenge closer to an airport. So you would have been fine.
Yeah. We would have driven to like Nashville. Yeah. And then we would have been nearer to a distillery. Yeah.
We had done
that. But we still would have lost an additional, I think, something like 2 hours. Because yeah. We were on central time at that point. Like we were going to lose at least an additional 2 waiting for any distillery to open.
Of course, as we discussed on camera, at least in the moment, on average, we wanted you to actually complete this that night because we didn't have any good options.
Right, 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 right.
Of course, what you pulled did not help that at all.
No.
So you, in reality, what you pulled did not help us at all. But in most circumstances, we actually were sort of hoping you completed this challenge before the end of the day so that we would have more options in the morning.
I have a question, actually. Did you ever consider driving to somewhere like maybe New York?
Yes.
Which has more airports and you could have made it. And the other thing being Massachusetts was a state you already controlled, right? You already had it. And so if you have extra time, I think that theoretically there could have been a benefit in, well, let's go to New York. If New York pops up, we're in New York. Or if it's in our private hand, then we're in New York. Or if a wild card comes up, then we're in New York. We're in a state that we can claim, and we're near a lot better airports.
Yes, we talked about this at length.
Well, it was quite simply that we just couldn't get there by the end of the day.
You couldn't?
We couldn't get all the way that we could get close, but then we would have to start the day kind of finishing the job of getting to New York. And while in theory, it would have been a much better place for flights, when we were actually looking at what had tickets and how things were priced, we didn't have very many good options out of New York. We had far more out of Boston, which was surprising.
Okay.
Especially considering that, like, Boston Airport, I believe, is roughly equivalent in size to any one of the New York airports.
Yeah.
So, like, being at Boston Airport allows you, I think, roughly the same options as being like at Newark or LaGuardia or JFK. Like there is a strategy of just ending the game day in New York proper and being able to get to any one of those airports within an hour. But like none of those airports are that close to downtown Manhattan. You know, LaGuardia by public transit takes 30 to 45 minutes. Sure, and that's sure. The best of the three. So I think it probably would have burned us about 2 hours the next morning to position in New York.
Yeah.
Plus all of the cost of extending the rental car to there.
No, that's fair.
And the trains were well timed, too.
Yeah. From the perspective of that evening, we had options that covered where we would want to go in the morning. Like it, of course, didn't pan out well, but like New York, yeah, we would have wasted time, wasted money, and not have massively altered our options.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
And I think we also saw like, we thought we could get to Seattle if we had to do that. And I think we knew that, like, had Minnesota popped, which we really wanted, we could have gotten to the Minneapolis, something like that. Like, there were a few things where our best moves were doable from Boston. A thing that I wanted to remark is a thing that I've been tracking, as I mentioned in previous episodes of the Layover podcast, is whether us knocking New York out in the first episode was a mistake. And I think we see now the kind of sequence events that would have followed if we had not done that would have resulted in us spending this time getting Vermont, starting the next day, probably on our way back to Boston from Vermont and being up one state, and then everything else ends up the same. So that's the final answer on the New York thing. It costs us one.
Because what would have been good about New York is, like, now that you would have had multiple things going on in the Northeast, we couldn't have been eliminating them in the way that we were. It's like, you know, we could have gotten rid of New York, but you keep
Vermont. And you would have knocked out New York, so we never would have gotten it.
Right, but like, it's such a fallacy to analyze jet lag decisions from every other thing being the same across 2 days.
No. That's true. But I guess what I'm saying, in defense of the take that I think eliminating New York was potentially a mistake, my argument is that at the time at which you did it, Ben and I felt it was a mistake for almost exactly the reason that it ended up being now, I think, disadvantageous to you.
Yeah,
I stand by our logic in doing it, but I think given how the sequence of events happened to follow and how few moves we did have, like, which is partially a luck thing, like there's all kinds of whatever, and it could have gone worse for us, which is why we eliminated it. But now we know, given how it did turn out, that it was a difference of exactly one state, and time will tell whether that matters.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to relitigate that, but I still find it crazy that y'all would not have strongly considered just flying to New York yourself, given how many good flights you had and how much time you were burning that day.
Well, and once Georgia popped,
never would have done it. Also, we couldn't have even gotten
there. It was eliminated before they had the chance to think about
it. By the time we even finished doing the Mississippi challenge, all the flights to New York were sold out anyway, so we wouldn't have been able to do it anyway.
There was one to Philly, but it was $2,000.
Yeah. There was a super expensive single flight to
Philly. Well, at least when we had looked, there were a lot. So that was what was informing our decision-making there. But yeah, we don't need to relitigate two episodes ago.
Very well.
Okay. We get to Paducah. I mean, we get to there Paducah. Just barely. And in fairness to our friend at Enterprise, he did warn us, but that was the worst piece of shit car I've ever been in.
No. And he told us. He was like, this is not a very good car. And we were like, it doesn't matter. We just need a car. Like, he wanted to get us a nicer car. And we were like, we don't have time. We just need whatever you can give us. But it was a horrible car. Horrible.
Was it terrible in its original design or terrible in its state of repair?
It's not clear. It was actively fighting me the entire time I was driving it. Hmm. It was like, it did not want to be a car on the road. The steering wheel, it was so jittery and shaky. It was so loud.
Yeah. It felt like there was a piece of cardboard between my feet and the highway. Like, that sort of was the vibe.
Again, not Marcos's fault. Marcos was a prince, and he saved us.
And it got us to Paducah on time to get drunk, which I did.
Congrats.
And we had a great time. But that, you know, goes without saying, I think.
Y'all had a real sort of noble savage's view of Paducah.
Well, yes, and we repent for it. Turns out it's great, and everyone should go visit Paducah and have a lovely, lovely time.
Well, I think that we have in the video, Ben, when he's drunk, starts to feel really guilty about that he thought Paducah wouldn't be cool. And he actually kind of starts to get a little bit upset.
Yeah, as he should. That's the headquarters of Dippin' Dots.
Well, yes.
What?
Yeah, we learned that also.
Nobody told me this.
Yeah, this is something we learn later.
The ice cream of the future.
I told you that in the half as interesting script on the subject.
I just read the words. I don't let them go through my brain.
It unchallenged. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sort of a moment of recognition of coastal elitism.
Yeah, and it really is striking.
Damn.
Oh, well, and then later I was talking to my brother-in-law, and he was like, oh, I love Paducah. He's from Tennessee. And he was like, yeah, like we would always stop there on our way to visit family in wherever it was, they would pass through Paducah. And he was like, yeah, no, Paducah's awesome.
My like best friend is a quilt scholar. So I like gotta go to that museum.
Well, there you go. Look, here is my defense of us not expecting Paducah to be nice. All right. And I'd like to just be able to state it clearly. Most random little places in the United States, regardless of what region of the country they are in, are kind of nothing, right? They're just sort of little, you know, kind of, there's just not really anything to them. My elitism was not because this was in the South. I'm from the South, right?
Same.
I think that we just didn't even realize that this was like a place that anybody went or cared about or like, you know what I mean? I think that we were like, this is probably like a truly like a random, like, you know, mostly going to be like, I don't know, like some houses and like a grocery store and that's it. Like once we learned that Paducah was like a place that was known, you know what I mean? It's like, this is a place that has like, you know, like people would go visit there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We were really excited about it, but it's like, it wasn't that we were like, oh, a place in the South, it's going to suck. We were like, we basically just clicked the closest place to the border that had a distillery. And we assumed that it would be like, I don't even think we realized it would be like even a city. We were sort of like, this is going to be just a, you know, like sort of a nothing.
Suburb with a whiskey distillery. In the
yeah. Middle. Like a suburb with nothing.
Yeah.
Well, I just reject the premise of a place that's a nothing. I believe that if you pick up any rock in this great nation, there's a beautiful bug underneath.
Yeah.
No. And it turned out to be true.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And the bug here was a quilt museum.
Have you been to Aurora, Colorado?
No.
Okay.
But I bet I would love it.
What about it?
Does it suck?
It's all right.
Okay.
Why'd you bring it up?
I was wondering.
Oh, because of Amy's bug thing.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, Amy, we have to talk about the first minutes of our morning.
Sure. We wake up in a hotel with an airport runway view.
We wake up in a hotel. No, not really. But in a hotel that we had stayed on before in jet lag in season negative one. Season zero, I think. I think it was Crime Spree.
Oh, was that the same one from Crime Spree? That's funny.
This was the one where we had that sequence of like, this was like the penultimate moment of the season where I was trying to sneak out to get to
Boston Logan. Yes.
Yes. So I was in this hotel. I was trying to sneak my way to the gate without y'all spotting me. And it was like this dramatic sequence because y'all had been following us like 5 minutes behind in the car all the way from New York City. So we were doing all these little tricks to try to sneak it through security. And we did successfully make it. The trouble was, I honestly forget why. It was part of our trickery that I was going to go before JT went to make it through security.
Yeah.
But it turned out that the security line was pretty long. And we missed our flight. We missed our flight to Jackson, Wyoming.
But we didn't catch you, right? Which we really wanted to do.
You did not catch us. So it worked in one way.
Because we were like, oh, they're still in their hotel. But it was like, no, it was this crazy.
Right, because was it something like you had the tracker on JT, but not me? Or I don't
know. No, we had the tracker on you, but it was...
I don't remember the logic for...
Oh, you know what it was? Oh, you know what it might have been? You know what I think it might have been? I think there was a rule that your tracker got to stay off while you were in the hotel.
Yes, that
and
is right.
Because, like, the hotel had a way to get into the airport directly that we didn't know about or something. Basically, the second your tracker turned on, you were already in the airport and, like, almost through security. And we were like, what the fuck? And then that was the deal.
But why did JT and I split up? I don't remember.
So that JT could look for us, I think, because tagging JT did nothing. So I think he was scouting to see if we were waiting around or something.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway.
Welcome to the Layover Podcast, where we discuss what we remember of Crime Spree.
Okay, fine. Okay. It's relevant. It's relevant.
Anyway.
We have to talk about the New Jersey thing, because that's going to be the most controversial thing from this episode.
The New Jersey thing.
Yes. You guys cut New Jersey.
You eliminate New Jersey.
It comes up.
And I think we're right to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Or you allow us to eliminate New Jersey.
Yep.
Okay, defend that, Amy, and then we need to talk about our flight options.
Yeah. Why let them take New Jersey? It's like to leave South Dakota up, basically. Because our whole, not quite, but like, one, it's the same math as New York in ways. It's like, we don't want to allow a Northeast corridor run that we are not personally doing.
But you're in the Northeast. How is this not the time?
Our whole game also relies on, at this point, connecting Illinois to Canada. We're cooked if we don't, we assume. And so we're like, I think we know that we are probably going to leave the area. And if we do that, like, let's say we go down to New Jersey. It's going to take us a little while to get there. We're going to do New Jersey. Maybe we'll do Delaware as well, since it's in our private hand. Now we have two states. Great. But now we've put ourselves in a situation where we have three islands. We have a cluster down here that's not connected to Canada. We have Canada and New Hampshire, and we have Illinois, which is also not connected. And so now we're putting ourselves in a position where we already know that if something comes up that will help us connect Illinois to Canada, we have to go run for it. And now we're putting ourselves in a situation where we also have to do that here.
Yeah.
And so we're kind of like, we gotta only have one move that we need to drop everything for if it happens. And we're still like, as long as we can keep the Northeast out of play entirely, then like, sure, you know, like whatever. It's not that close to Boston.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. But what I would say is that, like, if in that moment of decision, we or I knew how bad our flight options were, I think then it might have been pretty different, because our flight options were very bad, like kind of the worst they've ever been. And we can explain that in a second. So like with that knowledge, I think that maybe would have tilted in favor of doing New Jersey, even though it was quite bad and put us in quite a bad spot. But in the moment of decision, I totally agree with what Amy says. Exact same logic as New York, especially like seeing what comes up with, well, I guess this wouldn't have happened if you truly do the chain of events, but like Virginia, y'all are progressing on a Northeast kind of progression. You know, if we had not gone for New Jersey then, it very much could have been useful for y'all.
Yeah, I think that's where they're like, once Virginia comes up, this decision is completely vindicated.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's true. I mean, certainly our next move brings us towards the Northeast, and then we would have loved New Jersey.
But just to quickly discuss, I can't stress enough, like, I remember like Adam and Ben did a lot of like, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? And I'm sure the audience will as well. I cannot convey strongly enough how few options we actually had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was very frustrating.
There were certainly no nonstop flights to Iowa. I don't think there were any that actually even existed, let alone still available. But the real issue was that every single flight until mid-afternoon that day that went to a major hub in the Northeast, so every single flight to Chicago, every single flight to Detroit, every single flight to anywhere that could have connected even to somewhere in Iowa or really anywhere useful there, was sold out. Mm-hmm. So there was no nonstop flights available to anywhere better than St. Louis, and there were not even any connecting flights available. Like, I'm pretty sure we literally could not have gotten to an airport in Iowa during the game day. That's how long we would have had to wait.
Correct. Yeah, no, it was dark days. Because we were like, man, we burnt so much time coming to and staying in Boston because we were like, it's a major hub airport in a very populated region of the United States. Like, this is the kind of thing where, because this game changes so quickly and you can't keep your plan for very long, like, we are spending the currency of time to make it so that we can do something quick as soon as it pops up. And before we have the idea of driving from St. Louis, our best move is to spend almost the entire day to go to Seattle, after which we have no second move. Like, that is how dire things were. And they were worse had we made it to New York, because, of course, due to a worm in my brain, once we decided what we were going to do, I decided to look at what our options would have been in New York to see whether to feel bad about not going down there. And they were worse.
Anyways.
The flight thing is crazy. No, I mean, I totally believe you. I mean, well, it's an interesting thing, right, when you're on our side of it, which is like, we're not able to look into things as extensively as you. We don't know what you have, et cetera. But I mean, as you see in the episode, we're very confused, because unless you have the context of the fact that you were in like a truly anomalous situation with flight availability, what you're doing just seems so confusing. Right? It's like, what could they be doing? What are they up to? Like, this is so odd. And I think we were just shocked to learn that, and I believe you, that it does now sound like it was simply the case that this was the best way that you could have done what you were trying to do here,
mm-hmm.
right? But it's like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy that the best way for you to be able to do this was this route, which is so long.
Yeah.
Like, this drive is just so punishing.
Yeah, I mean, I want to acknowledge that, like, it's probably possible that there was something that was marginally better.
I don't think there was.
Maybe not, but we had to decide in a matter of minutes.
Yeah, yeah, it was a split-second decision also.
We didn't want to lose time. We didn't want to miss flights waffling about what to do. But yeah, I mean, we were pretty extensive in our research. I also think it's worth noting that, like, once we know we have Iowa as an option, like, Illinois in any direction is at least two states from Canada. Once you throw in Iowa, you're now one state from Canada, if it's the right one. And with South Dakota on the board, you can put yourself three states from Canada if it's the right one. But they're ones that it's going to take a while to get around and get to. So that's part of our thing as well, which again, like, you two couldn't have known because Iowa was a private card. But we were like, the only thing that seems to move our game forward in any meaningful way is getting Iowa. And, like, I think New Jersey would not have really helped in this instance.
I mean, what's interesting is that you're gunning, though, for Seattle before any of this, right? Like,
which was also a very bad option.
Yeah, we vastly preferred to get to Iowa, but we thought we had no way, and then I had sort of the St. Louis idea.
Well, I guess here's my question, because the reason you guys end up not going to Seattle is because you can't book the flight anymore because it's too late. If you guys could have made that flight, would you have preferred doing that to what you did? Or are you glad that you did this instead?
I think that's hard to say without getting into spoiler territory.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
I think we should leave the episodes to come.
We'll litigate this at the end of the season. Yeah.
To answer that, because we simply must wrap up and we shall see the implications of our St. Louis flight and our Midwest action next week.
I will say just one thing that I have jotted down that I'd like to remark upon. One of you two, Ben or Adam, says, quote, "For the first time in the game, we have a little bit of excess time," which was an amazing quote to hear from two guys who had wasted their life at the Coca-Cola experience.
No, that was necessary. That was not excess time.
We didn't have extra time. We had to do that.
Right.
Right.
Right, spiritually.
Anyways.
Okay.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.